The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
And a very warm welcome to everybody listening to the Daily Racing Podcast here at William Hill, hosted by myself, Bobby Beavers. And on this edition of the podcast, I'm delighted to be joined by Gary Catewell. Gary, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you, Bob. Yourself?
Yeah, very well, thank you. All the better for seeing yourself. Not seeing you for a couple of days.
No, it's, yeah. Yeah, we seem to be following each other around the country, which is, moving on.
Yeah, we'll move on from that conversation, shall we? Listen, just before we go through the Monday jury questions in the Racing Post and also get your selections ahead of Tuesday's racing. Yesterday, 24 hours ago, it was day two of the classic weekend at HQ, and Hermosa, that was supported in all fairness. Hermosa was a supporter. She was as big as 20-1 yesterday morning. The money came in for her and she won the 1,000 guineas impressively as well.
Yeah. But, well, in the end, by a length, but there was certainly no fluke about it. Obviously, I think she probably did sort of have the run of the race. And, you know, she galloped them into the ground pretty much, but wasn't particularly expected, just looking at the price, but softer than a race which can throw up a little bit of a shot. I mean, we had a big price winner last year, of course, didn't we, with the 1,000 guineas.
So. Bilsenbrook, weren't it?
Yeah, so, but, you know, she's got the job done nicely, and she was the apparent third string, if you like, in inverted commas, but we know that's never really the case with Ballydoyle runners, because they're all there obviously to be doing their best, and I don't think they really care which one wins as long as one of them does win it.
Would you go to the Oaks with her?
Well, just looking at the breeding, I think, you know, she's related to quite a few horses who stayed a mile and a half, so I don't think that'll be too much of an issue. She was fairly strong through the line, so yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see her go. Well, she's definitely going to go down that route now, isn't she? And I mean, Aidan's probably got a few more stoutly bred ones that we haven't seen yet this campaign that we might see sort of this week with Chester and Linkfield, and of course York next week on the horizon.
Here on the podcast now, we're going to go through the Monday jury questions in the Racing Post. So, Gary, are you ready?
Yeah.
Right then, question number one. How big a star do you think Magna Grecia will be this season?
I think that will depend on how he's campaigned. That will depend on the yard. Again, that could easily depend on some of the yards of the horses that are going to run this week in certain trials as well. I think if they sort of target him at a mile and a quarter, that will be perhaps his best sort of trip. I think he probably will stay the mile and a half of the Derby if they decide to go down that route, or whether they might sort of see him as a sort of an Eclipse and Irish Champion Stakes horse further down the line. That could be interesting, but he'll definitely, you know, definitely
French Derby, maybe.
Yeah, the French Derby is maybe an option, because that's a mile and a quarter, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So again, they've got such an array of talent, the Ballydoyle team. It will depend on potentially what might happen this week. But if he was mine, he'd be staying over a mile and a quarter and trying to mop up. They're never easy to win, obviously, but he'll be going down that route.
Question number two: which of those behind will you be taking out of the 2,000 guineas?
It'd have to be 10 sovereigns, and I know that's been noted by a couple of the people that have done the Monday jury in the Racing Post today, and I think coming back down in trip will definitely help him. So he'd be the one I take out of the race. It was a messy race, though, wasn't it? It was in some ways quite an unsatisfactory race, really. But yeah, I think 10 sovereigns is the one to take out of the race for me, and there'll be a few that'll be more interesting when they go up in trip again to 10 furlongs and probably a mile and a half in time. Some of the horses in behind that were running on okay, but 10 sovereigns would be the one that I take out of the race, and he'll probably go back down in trip, maybe something like the Commonwealth Cup, and then maybe even the July Cup for him.
Question number three: if you was asking me this question, I think it's a one-word answer. Is Kalik set to dominate the sprinting scene in 2019?
Well, having said 10 sovereigns is going to go back down in trip, maybe not. I don't know. I mean, he was very, very impressive, obviously, at Ascot, and he's still learning, I think. He hasn't had, obviously, had that many starts, but he couldn't have been more impressive the other day. And I suppose, again, the Commonwealth Cup and the July Cup are the two races that look ideal for him. And, of course, there's probably one or two other races as well that he could take in too. So be interesting to see. But, he was very... very impressive the other day. And of course, I suppose they've got the option. If they don't want to run him in the Commonwealth Cup, they could run him in the race on the Saturday at Royal Ascot, the Group 1.
Diamond Jubilee.
The Diamond Jubilee, yes. That could be the race they might run in if they don't want to go down the Commonwealth Cup route. But I suppose the Commonwealth Cup is the easier option. Sounds daft thing to say, really, doesn't it? But obviously, he's only a three-year-old. He's still learning. That would be the preferred option, I would imagine.
What did you make of the decision to strip maximum security of the Kentucky Derby?
Well, strictly, I suppose, by the American rules, it was the right decision. But there's no way in most other racing jurisdictions would the horse get thrown out. But to me, he looked the best horse in the race. But as we know, sometimes in American racing, that's not always a deciding factor as to. So who gets given the race? But I thought it was particularly harsh. I should imagine they are maybe planning an appeal, I think, but they've got to wait until Thursday, which is their next meeting at Churchill. So I think at the stewards and indeed all the jockeys that were involved in the bunch finish there to have a discussion about it, which seems a little bit silly, really, but that's unfortunately the way that it is over there. So, but I thought it was a very harsh decision at the time.
Highlight one to look out for at Chester's May meeting.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing a filly trained by Rafe Beckett. I'm just checking; she has been declared in the Cheshire Oaks, and the horse in question is Manuela de Vega, who's 2 from 2 in her career thus far. She made a winning race course debut at Salisbury in September of last year. Stayed on strongly through the line on that particular occasion. She's out of a Dale Army mare, so stamina is very much going to be her bag. And then she subsequently won at Pontefract. She won the Silver Tankard there on her final start and only other start last season as well. The horse that she beat hasn't actually ran since then, 3 Comets, but I'm pretty sure Ralph have another house, albeit he didn't run very well, actually, Newmarket. But even still, this horse goes up in trip, which is, she's going to come into her own. So she will be the horse that I'm perhaps most looking forward to seeing.
And finally, Gary, nominate a horse you think can surprise a few people this season.
Yeah, it's a tough one, this one. I mean, the obvious, trying to look away from the obvious, and it's difficult to really sort of think of one, really. But there's a few horses that have gone in the tracker of late that I think will be doing a little bit better in time. There's one in particular that ran at Newmarket the other day, which didn't help the track at all. And the horse in question was Intuitive, who sent off favourite for that 6 furlong handicap at Newmarket just the other day. Prior to that, had won a couple of times on the all-weather at Kempton, but beaten 7 lengths the other day, but for me, blatantly didn't handle the track, didn't handle the dip at all. So Intuitive would be my answer to that question anyway. So he will be the horse that I'm looking forward to seeing, certainly next time out on a more conventional, if you like, or a track that we know that he'd probably handle.
And just before we finish the podcast here, Gary, just give us your two selections ahead of Tuesday afternoon's racing, please.
Yeah, a couple of horses I'm looking forward to seeing running, both of them at Fakenham, actually. In the Norfolk National, I'm going to go for a previous course winner in the shape of Gamain, who won here a long, long time ago, back in February 2016. But he's won his last two starts at Wincanton, both of them over staying trips, and I think going up in trip will suit him further. So he's the first selection, Germain, in the Snelligs Norfolk National at 3.45. The other one is in the handicap hurdle that follows at that race at 4.15. And the horse in question is Lady Kyria, who's trained by Phil Kirby, would be a rare runner for him down at Fakenham. And this horse won at Newcastle on her penultimate outing. Was fairly well beaten, actually, last time out at Carlisle. But I'm willing to forgive her that run. They've gone to the trouble of booking Richard Johnson as well, which Phil Kirby probably wouldn't do that many times. Mm-hmm. So they were my two picks for tomorrow in the 3.45 at Fakenham, Germain, and in the 4.15, Lady Kyria.
Great stuff. Do tune in to William Hill Racing Radio on Tuesday afternoon from 1.40. Sam Norris, James Millman and Craig Forsyth will take you through all the action at Weatherby, Fakenham, Exeter, Ballinrobe and Wolverhampton.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.